host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we will be talking to Alex High. He is a Catholic author and blogger from our diocese. He's going to talk about angels and some of his experiences as a Catholic and as a writer. First,
we have Dr. B.
Yes, we do. Pilgrim Bites with Dr. B.
Look at our new, for those of you who are watching our video for the first time, we have a new logo for Biblical Bites for Dr. B.
Is this so handsome, those people in the screen? Yeah.
It's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You guys are doing very well with what you're doing in the studio. We are going to be talking today about the second reading for Mass, which is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Renee, why is it called St. Paul's letter to the Philippians?
Because he wrote it to the Philippians?
Yes, who are the Philippians? Because as opposed to, don't pull the classic Lecter, oops, this is not the letter to the Filipinos. I've heard that before.
I have not heard that. That's awesome.
This is one of those things. I've been a lector and you kind of just briefly like space out briefly. it's not a letter to the Filipinos.
No, it's to the church in Philippi.
Why is it called the Church of Philippi?
Because that's where it's located.
This is bonus points time now. Yeah, but why is this place called Philippi?
Oh, that's the place where it used to have all of the pagan idols. I remember that. Yes?
They're a pagan.
Wasn't that where the Transfiguration was? No.
No.
I'm thinking of something else.
Philippi.
Okay, you got me.
No idea. Philip of Macedonia. Do you know who he is?
Heard the...
Do you know who Alexander the Great is?
Yes, of course. Egypt. Yes?
No.
Bill!
I'm concentrating on video.
So, Alexander the Great was a Greek who conquered much of the known world, but then died when he was still a young man, still on his way to try to conquer India or even China. Actually, may have been in India. Philippi is named after his dad, Philip the Great.
Oh, okay.
Or Philip the Macedonian, who was the father of Alexander the Great. Who cares, right? So found in 360, they mined gold there, but by the time that Paul writes to them, they'd become a Roman colony. So by that I mean that the Romans, the Empire, had basically given, in a sense, this city that they conquered to army veterans.
Okay.
Veterans of the Roman legions and so on. So it was a Roman colony, which meant that it didn't have to pay the kind of taxes that other non-Roman cities had to pay. So normally the Romans are conquering everything and, you know, we're going to tax you this much. But because Philippi was, because of its special status, it was a very Roman city, even though it's in modern day Greece. It got special privileges for that. Okay. So who cares? Well, as a very Roman city, the Romans, this is going to stretch you.
Okay.
You'll get bonus points. We'll get a little bobble from Pope Francis if you get this one right. When you think of Rome, and adjectives for Roman culture and what the Romans really seemed to, as a society, value, what comes to mind? Any guesses on what, like, social status was determined by, you know?
By your wealth, I believe.
No. Wealth is important.
Or your name.
We're getting closer.
Okay. So your ancestry then?
Honor.
Honor. Okay. Oh, honor. You know what? That does sound familiar.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, if you see some of those the gladiator movies, like honor is always very important. So for Romans, honor means a lot. So for the Philippians, honor means a lot. And yet in the reading for Mass today from the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. By the way, Philippi did not have, normally St. Paul, when he would found churches, he started in cities and he went to the synagogue first and evangelized that Jesus is the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. And sometimes he would some converts, sometimes not. And then he'd go to the Gentiles.
Okay.
Well, Philippi didn't have much of a Jewish population. So very Gentile. He goes to them. He announced, started the church some years before this, but when he writes his letter to them, it's called a high Christological hymn. Second chapter rather of the letter. Having the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Coming in human likeness and found in human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so what I want to emphasize there, Renee, is that he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Romans did not, you don't debase yourself and become like lower your social status. If you're at the top, you want to just stay at the top or keep climbing if you're not at the very top. What Paul is telling the Philippians is basically what Jesus said: the first will be last, and the last will be first. But he's writing to a city where honor is everything, and he's pointing out that what Jesus did is he humbled himself,
which they wouldn't even think of. You
would humble yourself. Yeah. He humbled himself. He even though he was God, he didn't manifest his power. I mean, Jesus worked miracles, but if you think about it, Jesus he could have
done whatever he wanted.
Flown around and whatever, but he didn't do any of that. He humbled himself. He did not manifest his divinity, his glory. He took the form of a slave. And that's like that would be grating to a Roman sensibility, to take the form of a slave. Who does that? Mm-hmm. Jesus does it. And because of it, Paul says, then God highly exalted him. So it's sort of like what Jesus said, you know, when you're invited to a dinner party, sit at the lowest spot and then you'll be brought up higher. The same thing was, Paul is basically saying the same things to the Philippians. So the point, just as we wrap up, this is where the gospel is very countercultural. And yet Paul proclaims it boldly, and he's inviting us, don't be proud, humble yourself, and your heavenly Father who loves you deeply will exalt you.
That's great. Thanks, Dr. B.
You bet.
Joining me in the studio today is Alex High. He is a Catholic author, blogger, and member of St. Therese Parish here in Sioux Falls. We're going to talk a little bit about angels, saints, and how he lives his faith. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I actually got your name from several people here in the building. I hadn't heard of you before, and I was like, who can I interview who's just a regular Catholic and knows something about angels? We were looking for something like that. Oh, I know. You came up that way. So can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I've lived here in Sioux Falls since I was two. I run my own business, Reset ADHD. I've lived, you know, as I said, I've lived here since I was two, so I know the area well. Been to a few different parishes, grew up mostly going to Christ the King, but now I'm at St. Therese.
Okay. Brothers and sisters?
Quite a few.
Okay.
Two older, two younger.
Okay. Yeah, that's fairly big nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
So your business that you run, can you tell me a little bit about that.
So I'm an ADHD coach. Okay. I work with teens and adults who are struggling to reach their full potential. We talk about who they are, what their strengths are, how they can use their strengths to overcome their challenges. Okay. I like to say I help people work with their brains, not against them.
Ah, yes. I like that. Because a lot of times it's just like, and maybe you think medication's okay and that's totally fine. But a lot of times people think, we'll just medicate it and everything will be fine. But that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes there's other things that have to be done too.
There's a phrase in coaching, pills don't teach skills.
So I like it.
I'm on ADHD medication and I have a coach.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think there's more than one way to deal with it and sometimes multiple ways all at the same time.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. All right. So the Feast of Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the three archangels mentioned in the Bible, that's coming up soon, depending on when you're listening to this, probably coming up Tuesday. We also have the memorial of the Holy Guardian Angels also coming up. So, Alex, you have, I guess I would say, a bit of a fascination with angels.
That's accurate.
Okay, good. you've written a few blog posts about them. Can you tell us the coolest things you know about, or you found out about angels?
Well, that they exist. I think that's... Yeah. I think that's just fascinating how there's beings that are greater than us out there.
And it's completely different.
Yeah, it's hard to comprehend their existence, but it's true. Mm-hmm. The Bible says so. And then one of my other favorite facts is that guardian angels aren't recycled because they exist outside of time as we know it. So they like, they can't. So it's not, they're not limited to the same time frame we are. So like we think of time as linear, but they don't necessarily follow that same linear time as we do. And so guardian angels aren't recycled. So you've got one and that was the one that was made for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just incredible that God would create a being just for me.
Yeah. What exactly do our guardian angels do for us?
Well, it's just like the old prayer says, they light, they guard, they rule mm-hmm. and guide.
So I used to say that when I was a kid all the time at night.
Yeah. It's a very simple prayer, but it's, you know, I've heard people who know more about angels than me say it's like exactly what you want out of a prayer to your guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. I think I read several of your blog posts about them. We're not supposed to name our angel. Is that right?
Correct.
Why is that?
Because they already have a name.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I suppose. It'd be like someone who didn't know us just coming and naming us.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yeah. So the church actually has like a rule that you're not supposed to name them. And...
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. I don't, this is terrible. I'm going to admit something I shouldn't admit. I don't pray to my guardian angel like I did when I was a kid. And I probably should, even as adults.
Yeah. They're probably one of the most infrequently used aids that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're always with us. They're always there, you know? So yeah, even though I have a fascination with the angels, I don't talk to my guardian angel as much as I should.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to remember that because I do pick out, I have certain saints I like to pray for their intercession quite a bit, but my guardian angel is probably feeling a little bit neglected right now. I'm trying to think of what other things you had in some of those blogs about angels. What were some other things you have?
Well, just their love for us. Like, they love us incredibly. Only God loves us more. I have heard some people say Mary loves us more than angels, but I...
Yeah. I guess there's probably a lot of unknowns, isn't there?
Yeah. The church actually has very few canonical teachings on angels. Mm-hmm. So like what I said about them not being recycled, that's not an official teaching.
Right.
But it is the consensus of theologians.
Okay. So a bunch of them kind of come together once in a while, I suppose, or they write what they think about angels and what they can glean from the Bible, from teachings early on and so on. And off you go. And
yeah.
You match up someplace.
And St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa writes a lot about them. And
yeah,
he knew a lot. So
how did he had a little fascination with angels too.
He seemed to. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So, you've also written a couple books. One of them, I should have asked you before we started how to pronounce this saint's names. I'm going to let you say the name of the book and then I'll know how to pronounce it.
Eugene de Mazenod, A Saint for Today is the name of the book.
De Mazenod. No D. Don't pronounce the D on the end.
Yeah, it's French.
Okay. Yeah, I figured it was, but that tells me nothing as far as how to pronounce things. So you wrote that book and then another book about ADHD. So I want to talk about the book about Saint Eugene first. Why did you write that book about that saint?
Because very few people have heard of him. And then also I have a lot in common with him.
Mm-hmm.
So his parents are divorced. My parents are divorced. You know, he had issues with his temper. I can struggle with my temper at times. And, you know, even something as obscure as a dislocated shoulder we've got in common.
That's so weird, Alex.
Yeah, it is weird how like similar we are. And there are sometimes I'm reading his writing and he's talking about his family. He's like, gosh, I could have written something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. And as you say that, he seems like a saint I could relate to as well. My parents are divorced. I definitely have some issues with anger, especially when I'm driving, which I think might be normal around here.
Mm-hmm.
Now what time period did he live?
He was born in France just before the French Revolution.
Oh, okay.
And his family actually went into exile because of the French Revolution.
Okay.
So he spent like 11 years in Italy and then moved back to France and was separated from his dad for a while after his mom moved back and was separated from his mom for a while when he was in exile. And that's when his parents' divorce happened, and
that really affected him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that, how that happened with him?
Yeah. So he's very much a lover. He loved passionately. And so having that sort of dysfunction in his family really hurt him. He tried for a while when he got back to France to get his mom and dad to reunite, and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But it was just something that was always there for him. But he didn't let it define him. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things I've learned from him is it's not something that defines you,
right?
Having parents divorce. So he actually, you know, found his identity in God. And that's when he discovered his vocation and founded the Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate, mm-hmm. and then was eventually Bishop of Marseille.
Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people sometimes will allow things like that to define them. I'm a child of divorce. I have ADHD, whatever it is, and allow that to define their entire life. And people seem to be very kind of into that lately, is picking one thing to define them rather than you're an entire person. So he's a great saint for today, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, one of the reasons I called it a saint for today is he has a lot of relevance to today.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking to Alex High. He is a Catholic author and blogger from our diocese, lives right here in Sioux Falls. Okay, so the other book you wrote, Catholicism and ADHD, Finding Holiness Despite Distractions, seems like a very personal book for you.
Yeah.
It also seems like a book that maybe if you don't have ADHD, you might find some use out of it, because I think we all get distracted, especially when we're trying to pray. But I'm sure it's extra bad with you when you have ADHD.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that one.
So yeah, a couple years ago, I was struggling to manage my own ADHD, wondering what can I do? And I was really looking for a book that, you know, brought my faith into it and ADHD, and there wasn't one.
Yeah, so I've never seen one.
Yeah. So I've decided that to help me manage my own ADHD and grow in my faith, I was going to write this book just as an experiment to see if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. Thankfully.
How long did it take you?
About a year took me to write it.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And it did go through a couple drafts,
sure,
and a few revisions and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I wrote it to sort of help me out. And then, you know, I know other people who struggle with the same thing. So putting that out there was kind of helped me find my vocation as far as work and what I meant to do. Because now I'm an ADHD coach. I wasn't when I started writing the book.
Okay.
But I was by the time it was published.
Sure.
So,
Is that because people read it and then sought you out, or did it kind of work the other way around where you were like, well, I can help other people because of this now that you've kind of learned all this about yourself?
Yeah. So I was in the process of writing the book. I discovered a passion for helping others, mm-hmm, with ADHD, and that led me to coaching.
Okay. All right. So can you tell me a little bit about what the book is about? I haven't read this one either, but I did kind of read the description and so on of it. And it sounds like it's a lot about prayer and how to focus.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So the beginning of the book covers ADHD in general, how it affects your daily life, how it affects your spiritual life. Second part is about sort of the struggles you can have in your daily life and in your prayer life. And then the third part is called Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Second part is called Falling. The first part is called The Cross. Third part is called Rising. And it's about how to overcome the challenges you face,
mm-hmm,
how to focus in prayer, how to grow in holiness, how to deal with the fact that you're created in the image and likeness in God and you have ADHD. How does that work?
Right.
So there's a chapter on that, just about, you know, being made in the image and likeness of God and having ADHD. What does that say about me? What does that say about God?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last chapter is called Reasons for Hope.
Okay. So as someone, I'm sure there's probably other people who might be listening to this. I know some people with ADHD, but I don't know a lot about it. Can you explain just a little bit about what someone with ADHD might struggle with?
Yeah, so it's a neurodevelopmental disorder. The three main symptoms are impulsivity, hyperactivity, and inattention. So specifically within the faith life, it's hard to like sit and be quiet at Mass and be able to stay focused. Also managing your emotions is hard with ADHD.
Okay.
So that can cause problems. And when you're emotionally charged, it's hard to focus even more. So like in prayer, when things are going poorly in your life, it's really, really hard to focus in prayer. But there's also like just this added pressure to get something out of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it causes a lot of struggles in that way. And so the book is there to help people through all of that. And
okay. Did you have, I didn't ask you this beforehand, so I don't know if you're just going to say yes or no, but did you have, was there a priest or a spiritual advisor who helped you kind of work through this?
No, I mean, while writing it, I was receiving spiritual direction mm-hmm. with Father Kevin O'Dell. And then after I wrote the book, I gave it to him to read before it was published, and he didn't tell me anything that was needed changing. Good. So that's good. He even wrote a little blurb for the back of the book. So
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Father O'Dell's awesome.
Yeah. I really like him.
Yeah. He has a lot of, he's a great help. He has a doctorate in psychology. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So he really is a great help to a lot of people with different issues. So, and ADHD is probably one of them, at mm-hmm. least a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So how did writing these two books even help you grow as a Catholic, do you think?
Well, when you're writing a book about the faith, you really have to confront any challenges you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
Like both of these books, I had to deal with stuff from my past as I was writing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
no one likes to do that.
No, it wasn't pleasant by any stretch of the imagination, but I did it. So it was, you know, making peace with things that have happened in my past, and then how do I grow from this?
Mm-hmm.
So both books helped me grow in my faith.
Yeah. So have you always been a very faithful Catholic, or was there a point in your life where things just kind of clicked?
Yeah. So it was right before my junior year of high school. I do this thing where I think quite deeply at night, and has kind of caused me trouble with sleeping.
I was going to say, how do you go to sleep?
I actually have been doing research into ADHD and sleep recently to help.
There's got to be a connection, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was pacing around my room one night right before my junior year of high school, just thinking deep thoughts and all that stuff. And finally, I stopped pacing, looked at the crucifix on my wall, and I said, "Do you believe in God?" And I said, "Yes." "Do you believe that Jesus is a savior?" "Yes." And then for the third question I asked myself was, "If you believe those things, why aren't you doing everything you can to get to heaven?"
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have an answer for that one. So I changed my life from that point and started taking the faith more seriously.
Yeah. I think those are really good questions for all of us to ask, because a lot of times we as Catholics sometimes think, well, I go to church every Sunday, you know, that's enough. Or that's, you know, I do some other things, but do we really live our lives like we're Catholic? Would someone know you're Catholic if they met you? Or at least if they got to know you a little bit? You probably don't have to wear it right on your shirt, mm-hmm. but or your face. But if people can't tell you're Catholic, we might have a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, so as a millennial, you're 20s, right?
Yep, 27.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I thought. Is there something you can tell other people your age to help them grow their faith life? Some advice?
Advice? Ooh.
I know, sorry.
Yeah, I would say to follow the truth. Crazy story. One time I was getting my internet set up at my house,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who was setting up liked to talk, and so he was talking to me, and I had just hurt my back moving in, and so like I didn't want to talk to him, but he kept talking to me, and he brought up faith stuff.
Wow.
And
the cable guy?
Yeah, he was agnostic.
Okay.
But he said religion just fascinates me. Mm-hmm. And so we had this really great talk about my faith and, you know, his struggle to find answers for his life. And, you know, as he left, I said, keep following the truth mm-hmm. and that'll lead you to where you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good advice. And I think we just have to know that, okay, we don't know everything. So you have to go out and actually read stuff, look at stuff, maybe talk to people, learn more about your faith, and also then pray and spend time with Jesus and adoration, things like that, so that you can build your faith life. So do you do things like adoration, things like that? I'm throwing you on the spot again. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
You know, back before the pandemic.
Oh, sure.
It was a lot easier to go mm-hmm. to Mass and pray. But I go to daily Mass mm-hmm. Still. And I streamed it while we were all hunkered
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
But yeah, adoration is something I used to do quite a bit. Haven't as much recently.
Yeah. It's a habit you have to get into. Cause I have tried several times to get into the habit and I'm not quite there yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I think I need to start in very small chunks. Cause whenever I try to do an hour, it's really easy to find a reason to not do that. So I think I know I've been told before, just start in small time amounts and that'll help.
Yeah. So. One of the pieces of advice I have in the ADHD book is pray as you can, not as you think you ought.
Oh, that's a great advice. Yeah. Cause I think we all think we're like, oh, I'm clearly not doing enough. I'm terrible Catholic. I need to do more stuff. And mm-hmm. you just have to do what you can and work from there and keep working on it. Anything else that we missed that you can think of?
No.
Okay.
Not that I can think of anyway.
Okay, good. So Alex's books, St. Eugene de Maisonneuve. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Okay. A Saint for Today and Catholicism and ADHD, Finding Holiness Despite Discipleship. Despite Distractions, Despite Discipleship. That might be really terrible. That would be a terrible title. They look like great books. I definitely want to read the one about St. Eugene. And I think the other one looks very useful for folks with ADHD. So I hope you'll pick them up. I know that you can find them on Amazon. And thank you so much for being with us today, Alex. It was great to talk to you a bit.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Next week, we are going to be talking to Emily Leadham. She'll be in talking about Respect Life Month. That should be a good topic. I don't know exactly what we're talking about yet, but she always has good things to say. So that's it for us today. Hope you'll join us next week for more Catholic Views.